Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week we'll be talking about musical editing and creation with Dancing Dots.
Dancing Dots offers a variety of accessible tools for creating and reading musical scores, turning printed scores into Braille and vice versa, and also for editing audio. We'll talk with Bill McCann about his musical journey and the tools that the company he founded has developed for musicians at any level. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Bill McCann.
A lot of times the blind musician is mainstreamed, and I think there's a lot to be said for mainstreaming. There's no ideal in this world. But one of the casualties is music literacy. And too often the student shows up for band tryouts and the band director gets very anxious because this band director has prepared himself for a career that does not include someone who's visually impaired or even disabled to any degree. And they're not sure what to do. And unfortunately, what happens sometimes is that the blind kid gets handed a maraca and basically, you know, when you feel like shaking this, you know, go for it. Or they do actually get a more traditional instrument and try to learn their parts, but they have perfect pitch. And perfect pitch is a wonderful gift. But unfortunately, people think that, well, I have perfect pitch, I'll never need to learn to read. And one of my favorite quotes on our site is from a girl who has perfect pitch and just got her degree and said, "Perfect pitch only got me so far. I needed to learn to read." But anyway, what happens is these kids, they start playing, they practice, they sound good, they have perfect pitch, they have an interest. They get good. And then they get into high school and somebody says, "You know, Susie or Freddie, you're thinking of going to music school and you might want to learn this thing called Braille music because you read Braille books, right?" "I'm doing fine. You know, everybody pats me on the back. I get little solos and people are nice and they clap. So what do I need that for?" And then they go to an audition at a college and they say, "Can you play something?" And they play something and they wow them, or they sing something. And everybody says, "This is great. We'd love you to come to our school." They come to the school and the first day they walk in and they say, "This is your musicianship class and here's the book and we want you to sing number 10. "Well, I can't read." And then the teacher says, "I'm going to play this melody on the piano. It's in 1 sharp 3/4 time and I want you to write it down." "Well, I don't know how to write." And suddenly people realize that they've been, by some well-meaning people, and in almost every case, they've been fooled into thinking that they're able to study music at a higher level. But in fact, they're illiterate. And one of the most heartbreaking things that I see in my little business is when I see a kid like that who is so happy and thrilled and ready to study music, call me and say, "I've changed my major to English," or worse yet, "I've dropped out of school." And it's just horrible. I just hate it. And it doesn't have to be that way. So I love my work partially because in some cases, I have enough influence to spare someone from that.
So Bill talked about some really sad stories of people not being able to achieve an education in music because they couldn't read their own music themselves. Well, a few months ago in show 1331, we spoke with Alex Krauth, who's a young woman who had recently graduated from college with a music major and is now teaching music and leading ensembles and doing it all with Braille music and with many of the tools that Bill will be talking about later in this show.
In fact, that was one of our motivations for finding out more about Dancing Dots and setting up this interview with Bill.
Now, that's not our normal breaker tune. That was a tune called My People, which is an original composition by Bill McCann, arranged by Gordon Kent, and copyrighted by Dancing Dots, and created with many of Dancing Dots' tools. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Bill McCann and learn both about him and his company, Dancing Dots.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Nancy. My name is Bill McCann, and I am the founder and president of a company called Dancing Dots. Braille Music Technology LP is our formal name, but most people just know us as Dancing Dots. I founded Dancing Dots in 1992, and we've just celebrated our 20th anniversary last September, and so this is kind of an anniversary year for us.
So we generally ask people we interview if they have any visual impairment. Do you?
Yes, I have a complete visual impairment. It's pretty simple for me. I can't see anything. Although until I was 6 years old, I had some limited vision, and I have some wonderful memories of vision. But when I was six, my glaucoma reached a stage where it basically destroyed the retinas and the optic nerve, and it was all done.
So you learned Braille and mobility lessons at a pretty early age then?
I learned Braille in kindergarten from the sisters at St. Lucie Day School here in Philadelphia, but I didn't have my first mobility lesson until I was 14.
So how did you get around between when you were 6 and 14?
I just walked everywhere. I could take you anywhere within a few blocks of my home. I guess I listened very carefully. The Christmas after the summer, I lost all my sight. All I wanted was a bicycle for Christmas. And my parents were such wonderful people. They never said to me, what are you kidding? When I came down for Christmas, there it was. And that spring, when the snow melted, as soon as I could, I got on it. And my dad taught me to ride it. I rode up and down the sidewalk. And I could turn into anybody's driveway. I knew where it was. I knew every bump in the road there. That's just one of the many wonderful things that my parents did for me when I was a kid. They never said, you can't do it.
You know, my story is pretty similar. I had glaucoma at a very early age, well, since I was born. And I give my parents similarly a lot of credit for raising me to be independent. And it wasn't until later on in life that I realized all the anxiety that they must have had.
Precisely.
But it makes a big difference to be that supportive.
Sure does.
So you say you're a musician and trained as a musician. What do you play?
I play trumpet. I got a trumpet for my 9th birthday, and I just, kept going. And I joke around about plan A, plan B, plan C. I think I might be down to D or E by now, but plan A was, okay, I'm going to play my trumpet. You're going to throw the money, and everybody's going to be so happy. I got the trumpet playing part down, and I did make some money. I reached a point where I said, I want to do some things, and at the moment, I'm a little too poor to do most of them. So now what do I do? So plan B became, well, I heard some people are learning to program computers, people with disabilities, and learn to program business software. We were learning COBOL then. And after 10 months of that intensive program, I got a placement in an internship with Sunoco. I got a job there. They made me an offer and I couldn't refuse. And I worked there for 10 years doing business programming in a group that maintained software for the payroll, the benefits, and we wrote software that figured out how much money to take out of your paycheck for your retirement plan or your dental insurance or whatever. And it was a good job, but as I like to say, it was a difficult job for someone who likes to stand up and perform and talk and get noticed, because the only time you got noticed is when you messed up somebody's paycheck.
It was the negative times.
I started there in 82. And I continued to be a part-time musician and run a band and play for parties. I played a lot in church for people's weddings and special liturgies and things. My original, I guess this was plan C, was, well, I'm going to work for this oil company. I'm going to save my money. And I'm going to get my master's in music and composition. But in the end, I guess every time I thought about leaving the oil company, they promoted me and it got harder to leave. And then I married my college sweetheart and then it became a lot harder to leave. But I did tell her when we got married, I have this job now and they pay me. But I think one of these days I'm going to do something else. And she said, okay. And when the time came in 92, well, actually late 91, our company wanted to get smaller. They asked people to voluntarily terminate their employment. And in return, they gave a nice package of training and compensation. And I said, you know, I think this is it. I'm going to try to write this Braille music translator, and I really want to do it. So she backed me up, and we started up and worked on our first product, which ultimately is what became what we call the Goodfeel Braille Music Translator.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Braille music and transcribing it back and forth from printed music, as well as the tools that Dancing Dots has developed to make this possible.
Some of our listeners may not be familiar with Braille music. Can you give a quick overview of why Braille music is a little bit trickier in terms of having to be written linearly and not having the ability to have a conventional score and that kind of two-dimensional arrangement?
I like to think of it as Braille music is a technology that complements the way blind people can read. Louis Braille was a genius in so many ways. But what many people don't know is he was an excellent musician. He was an organist, and he won a prize for cello when he was at the School for the Blind. He not only wanted to read text and do arithmetic, but he wanted to read music. And I think the beauty of his system is that he took a six-dot arrangement and made it represent not only text and arithmetic, but music. And it's the same six dots. But here's the beautiful thing. The top four dots of the cell he uses for the name of the note. And the two dots on the bottom, they can be combined to indicate the rhythm. So under the tip of one finger, you can learn the pitch and the rhythm of the note that you're to play. Now, there are many other signs. It's a very well-defined code that can tell you, okay, the first note is C, which one is it? Well, if it's middle C, we call it fourth octave C. And there's an octave sign to tell you that. If you want to play it loud, it'll say forte. If you want to play it with an accent, we have a sign for that. We have symbols in Braille music for pretty much everything that you'd want to indicate in the print score. But the difference is there's no vertical component. So we don't have to try to read left to right while we're reading top to bottom. That mode of reading suits us better because we can get on one line and go left to right and read. What I like about our technology is that we can not only show you the Braille score for music, but we can use speech technology and existing software so that when you, for example, press the same key you would press to, say, read the next character, we can move to the next note. You can hear the system play the note, and you can hear JAWS describe the note. For example, it might say C for half, and that would tell me the pitch is C. It's in the fourth octave, and it's a half note. And as that's happening, and as I hear the C sounding, I can feel the dots for that on my Braille display. And if someone is sitting beside me who's sighted, they can look over my shoulder at my computer screen, and they can see the print music for that note. So what we've tried to do is augment Braille's beautiful system and also tie together the existing technologies in such a way that we break down the walls between the people who are sighted and say, oh no, I don't know anything about that Braille stuff, I can't help you, and the blind people who say, well, I can't really understand this sighted system. So we've actually connected everybody through the sound and through the verbal descriptions of music. So now we're talking about music. We're not stuck on the medium of how it's presented. We're able to talk now about melody, about harmony, about rhythm, and the essentials of music and not get bogged down on how it's written.
So I'm curious, the trumpet is basically a one-handed instrument. Are you able to play the trumpet and read the music with your other hand, or is that just too much?
In a pinch, you can do it because you do only need one hand to operate the horn, although it's not very good for your technique. But in general, blind musicians memorize the Braille score. And of course, lots of sighted musicians memorize the print score. But what I love about the Braille music system is that I am memorizing the musical score. I am not memorizing the sound of someone else interpreting the musical score as they see it. I don't have to get my interpretation filtered through someone else's performance.
How would you describe what's special about what Dancing Dots does?
Dancing Dots is a company that enables blind, low vision, and sighted people to read music, to write their music down, and to record their music in Braille, in magnified print, in regular print music, and in audio format.
What are the major products that you sell?
The GoodFeel is a suite of software that allows you to do a number of things, and it consists of technically four titles. We have GoodFeel itself, which is the Braille software we developed at Dancing Dots. We have Lime, which is a music notation editor that we've essentially integrated GoodFeel with. We have some scripts to make JAWS verbalize what you read in Lime in the score if you need JAWS, although it works perfectly fine without JAWS for sighted people. And we have the SharpEye music OCR program. It's called SharpEye Music Reader. And so with all of those things together, you can, say, take a piece of sheet music you buy down at the corner music store, scan it, have the computer play it back, convert it to what we call an accessible score or a talking Braille score that I was talking about earlier, where you can arrow through the piece note by note or chord by chord, listen to it in tempo or out of tempo, feel the Braille music on your display if you have a display, or just hear the sound of it as you go through Lime. And then ultimately, if you like, you can launch GoodFeel, and if you have a Braille embosser, you can make a hard copy Braille score.
So this is a great way for blind and low vision people to be able to use conventional printed musical scores and access them in Braille and hear the music being played. I take it with this software, it's also possible for them to write their own scores and have them printed out in print and Braille, etc.?
Yes, you can attach a MIDI keyboard, a musical keyboard, to your computer and use it to input notes. If I play a note on the keyboard, it comes right up on my Braille display, and it also comes right up on the print score on the screen. And once you're happy with your score, you can print it out on a regular ink printer and give it to the sighted musician to play. I should also say I've described the program we call GoodFeel, the suite of software. There's a kind of a subset of that called Lime Aloud. That's everything I described except for the Braille, because there are a lot of people who, for whatever reason, don't read Braille or didn't learn Braille music, but they still need to learn new pieces and they need to write their music down. We also, skipping ahead a little bit in the company history, a few years ago released our very first product for low vision people. And it's, again, a lot of the same components as the GoodFeel suite, but we call it Lime Lighter. And what Lime Lighter does, it's a special version of Lime that magnifies the print music up to 10 times the standard size and allows you to scroll it using a pedal so that you can keep your hands on your piano or your flute and you don't have to memorize the music, which is what a lot of low vision people do, just like I do with Braille. But they do it because there are a lot of wonderful things to magnify images, and they'll use a CCTV or something, but all of those things involve them using their hands, and so they have to do what I do. They have to look at the music, memorize it, and then go back to their instrument and play it. This way, we now have customers who are low vision people who, for the first time, are able to do what we call sight reading. They're able to just open up the piece, find the zoom level that's comfortable, pick up their flute or what have you, and just start playing.
I gather Lime Lighter comes in several versions?
It is now basically in three versions. The Lime Lighter Presto is a 20-some inch wide screen. It's nice and big. You can change the angle, and it's sitting on a modified Manhasset music stand. Now, the big wide screen is essentially a PC. It's a touch screen computer. Now, so that's Lime Lighter Presto. The Lime Lighter Sonata is, we're using a much lighter weight monitor that can actually sit on your piano rack without breaking it. With that, though, you need to pair it up with a laptop or even a very fast netbook will work. And then we have a version called Lime Lighter Mobile. You know, some people will call and say, listen, I already have this 32-inch screen here. I don't really want to buy any more screens, and I don't have to move my piano too often. So it's sitting right on top of it. So I was like, fine, okay, we can to sell you the software. Again, you do have to supply a laptop, but in all cases, you get the pedal that you need.
Now, for obvious reasons, we can't demonstrate any of the magnification tools that he's been talking about in an audio program, but here's a piece of a demonstration from their website of Lime Aloud, and we'll have the link to the full demonstration in the show notes for this show on our website.
Lime Aloud is designed to give you a multi-sensory approach to a musical score. You'll hear verbal cues, and you'll hear musical tones, and on my Braille display, I can feel the equivalent Braille music notation. We'll see how I do. Here we go.
Treble clef 1 flat F major 3 4 time mezzo forte / B moderately my country / tis of thee.
So you can see there's a lot of information on that first note. Let's go to the second note.
B2 F4 quarter.
You hear the beat, you hear the pitch, the octave, and the rhythm. I'm simply using the arrow keys on the numpad to move note by note. Now I can hold down the control key with the right arrow or 6 on the numpad, and we should hear both soprano and alto.
B2, B3, R4, B1, B3, F4 quarter.
And there the voices unite.
Now that can be very useful to both learn music on your own and create music on your own, and also to share it with other sighted folks that you want to work with.
That was another excerpt of Bill performing My People, which he wrote and produced using Dancing Dots tools. Now for this week's high-tech item, cake talking for sonar.
I understand you also sell some software for people who are into music production and doing some more sophisticated things with music called cake talking. Can you give us an overview of what that product does?
Sure. The formal name of the product is Cake Talking for Sonar. Cakewalk Sonar is a product that converts your PC into a multi-track recording studio. And Cake Talking is a set of scripts and tutorials that makes it a very accessible and friendly environment for a JAWS user, let's say, who wants to work independently and who just wants to create and not think so much about, okay, where's my cursor? And should I turn on the JAWS cursor and click here and try to drag something around? It's very much a speech-friendly environment. Essentially, our brilliant developer, David Pinto, who created Cake Talking, although he's a sighted guy, I tell him he's the most blind-sighted guy I've ever met.
So some people that have or are thinking about getting the sonar program for doing their audio production, mixing, etc., ask the question about how do I decide between using these free open source JSonar scripts versus the Cake Talking for Sonar program. Can you tell us what would help a person decide?
I think the decision for a lot of people comes down to how much handholding do they need or want. David's scripts, Cake Talking, are just wonderful at anticipating what's going on. There's just a whole lot of online help. If you press insert H, you get a list of dozens of categories of help. But essentially, he's packaged it up. He's made kind of a speech-friendly front end that allows you to get right down to working. He's written a brilliant tutorial that's kind of entertaining about how you connect all this stuff up. A lot of blind people that I've met, and I used to be one of them, we get pretty good at the software, but when something gets disconnected, we're kind of clueless, like, I don't really know where that goes. And he's written a whole tutorial on telling you what is a sound card, what is an audio interface, what is a MIDI keyboard, how do these things all connect up? A lot of productivity tools that you can get to more easily, or actually some of them you can get to at all with our cake talking that you can't get with some of the free scripts.
Well, I've actually helped Victor work on the JSonar scripts, and it definitely appeals more to the geeky, knowledgeable PC user. I mean, it certainly doesn't have the integrated help features that you have. And I've heard very good things about the cake talking for Sonar manual and documentation. You have like a 400-page manual that thoroughly describes Sonar in understandable terms.
And if you want to learn more about the JSonar project, we spoke with Victor Tsaran, who was the lead programmer on it, in show 1151.
Now, a number of blind musicians and producers have been concerned about support for some of the newer versions of Sonar, X2 and X3. What are the plans in that regard?
I'm happy to tell you, Pete, that yes, my friend David Pinto has committed to me that he will take a look at the latest version of Sonar and do his best to make it accessible. When X1 came out, it was a real setback, and we weren't really sure if he should continue. But he finally was able to take some time and really look into it, and he believes he can do it. Now, that being said, I don't think we'll have anything commercially available for at least 6 months, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a year or so. It's going to be a very big job.
How would people get more information about your products?
Well, I suggest you go to dancingdots.com. It's all written together, dancing dots, like one word. And you'll find a number of links to the different products. There is two I'd bring to your attention. One is called the presentations link, where you can connect to audio and video of different people using the products or of ourselves using the products. You can also check out something I put there. I think I called it resources by need. And it's kind of like, I'm a sighted teacher and I have this blind kid in my music class. What do I do? So yeah, you'll find a lot of information there. We also have a YouTube page now. It's called youtube.com/dancingdotsaccess. We just got Twitter going. We're Dancing Dots Tech. And of course, you're welcome to call us anytime, 610-783-6692, and we'll talk to you. Which is actually something we like to do.
And as usual, there's one easy place you can go to find all those links and the contact information along with other resources, and that's our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net, and look for the show notes associated with this episode.
That's it for show number 1346. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about doing marathons on foot, or bicycle, or some combination, with a man who refers to himself as Blind Dave Healy. Now, he's done things like run 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 consecutive days, and we had to put off the interview with him until he got home from riding 700 miles on a tandem bicycle in 7 days through 7 countries, starting in Switzerland and ending up at home in England. And all of this was to raise money for a variety of charities.
I'm exhausted just listening to that.
If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.